Okay, so I did something today that I haven't done in years at work, and I've avoided it forever, but the emails and the invites started going around from all high levels of the organization, so I figured I better be there bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And once again, I totally regretted going to another company-wide meeting. And I remembered why I haven't done that in 5 years. Are they the same for you? Totally boring. And I used to think when I first started, hey, this is awesome. They want to pay me to sit here for an hour or two and listen and try not to fall asleep. I've had coworkers in the past who played little note games. They would pick certain buzzwords and then keep a tally of how many times those buzzwords were said in those meetings. That was pretty funny. Then one time somebody accidentally burped, so they started keeping track of those. I don't know, it was pretty funny, entertaining, but still not worth going to those meetings for. So that's what I want to chat about today for the ride home. I am drinking my leftover Coke from lunch. I got a refill, so you know I have almost a full cup here to get me on the way home, and I'm fueled up and ready to go. So company meetings, all hands meetings, whatever they're called, I don't know, other companies, they might be fun. At least their career recruiting page on the website seems like they are. They record them and woo, they're handing out swag and everybody's excited and yelling and having a great time. If that's how yours are and you enjoy and appreciate them and find them useful, then high five, good for you. I have never been to such a company or all hands type meeting that is that exciting or that fun. So I almost goofed and said I'm jealous there, but I'm not. Because all I could think, I made it half an hour, and then I was out. But, because I had things to do. I was putting off getting some emails and information to other people who were relying on it, so I could sit in that meeting, and just didn't seem like the best use to my time to back myself up for the day. But I don't quite understand this phenomenon of these company-wide or even department or business or division-wide meetings. I get why somebody thinks they're important, but so many times I sit there and listen to the CEO or upper senior executives, and I don't think they speak the same language as most of the rest of us. They were saying stuff that just didn't make sense. I saw no real practical application. It was all high level. It was all theoretical. Do people find that useful? I would guess, just my gut says, at best 1% of the people in the organization might find that information useful and relevant, and maybe it has some impact for them on their day-to-day, even day-to-day short-term or day-to-day long-term, but I just not found that to be the case. It's so high level, so far removed. Rarely does the interpretation water down, as they would suspect, or trickle down through all layers of management. You know, I'm sure the ideal is that someone at the top says something, and the people who report to them, they know how to interpret that and how that hand that down to the people that report to them, and so on till, you know, we're down to everyone at the front lines. I know that's probably what they think happens, but in my experience, it's the worst case scenario of the telephone game if by the end there's dead silence to the last person on the end of the line in the telephone game, right? rarely does anything make it even misinterpreted down the line. It usually just doesn't even come down the line at all. So why did I stop going originally? Because we would have these kinds of meetings, and then we would spend the next week or so at the water cooler or in other staff meetings or whatever, trying to figure out and interpret what on earth does what was said have to do with what we see translated down into strategy and decisions that the business is making. And I just realized that was such a waste of time, and all the energy I was spending trying to figure that out just didn't get me anywhere. Now maybe it could be I'm just too dumb for that kind of stuff, and maybe I'm just not smart enough to interpret that level of communication. I really doubt it though, because they speak English. I do understand English pretty well. I've been somewhat educated, a lot of experience in the business industry, in the business world, and in my specific industry. So I'm pretty well versed in it. I spent years working at manufacturing type operations, sales, retail type places. So it's not like I'm a complete ignoramus when it comes to this stuff. But I guess there's a certain layer that maybe thrives on their perception of my ignorance. But it's just not the case. And what relevance does it have, right? If something the top says doesn't translate to what people on the front lines are doing, I would kind of question, does it even matter, right? If six layers or more of management can't turn it into something I can do, I'm not exactly sure if it really even matters, right? Maybe it's just a content thing, right? Maybe there's certain things that executives communicate that do matter up and down, and people understand what they're talking about and know what action to take. Maybe that's the case. I just have not really known that world, except for, excuse me, in small companies where I'm two or three steps at most from a CEO, then what they say makes sense and is relevant to what I'm doing every day, and they even talk about the stuff I'm doing every day and tie it in. And that's amazing and that's useful. But asking people in a huge countrywide or even global wide organization to tune in for that kind of stuff when it's not going to apply to 98-99% of them, that's a huge expense that I'm surprised more companies aren't asking. That we essentially shut down or crippled operations for an hour or two. You know, they can tell me how much having the building closed because it's really snowy and the traffic's horrible and dangerous, shutting down the building for a day, somebody's figured out that number. But I don't know why the same people in finance or accounting haven't run the numbers and told the CEO, hey, you just cost us this much. Was your little spiel worth X millions of dollars, maybe even billions of dollars in some cases, in really large companies? I guess it could go that high. I'm sure that's rare, but anyway. So it's very interesting. I'm okay sitting down with my team for short meetings every day, or even a monthly or quarterly hour-long meeting where we just kind of cover things and reevaluate where things are going for us and get feedback from our manager, give our manager feedback. Those kinds of meetings I found useful, but those have all but disappeared, frankly, in the organization I've worked at for a while. And it's too bad. And sometimes people got frustrated. Oh, all we did was get together and these two guys always were just cracking jokes the whole time, and it was such a waste of time. Okay, well, maybe, if it was entirely comedy relief, although I've never been in a meeting that that's the case. That would be awesome, though. If it were basically coworker stand-up for an hour, that would be pretty fun, actually, I think. But, you know, that's just me. I don't know. Lots of questions come up. And that's why I stopped going, because it was a lot of questions I didn't have answers to, didn't care about, and didn't feel it was worth any expense of my energy on. But, you know, we even had one point, a VP would go around and round up people who were still sitting at their desk. I have to suspect that a lot of that kind of stuff is somebody's insecure about their team not being well represented at the meeting and an executive's questioning why, right? I think that's more out of particular manager's insecurity than anything else. I've gotten emails from a director encouraging us to go, and then they don't even call in or attend. I'm like, all right, you know, whatever. Not that I'm waiting for you to take direction on that stuff. Anyways, because I've learned better over the years that usually a lot of encouragement to be in those meetings is somebody's insecure, or if an executive, frankly, if an executive is worried about people attending and doesn't feel like enough people are coming, isn't that kind of a sign? If it were me personally, I'd be saying, okay, why don't people want to be there? Obviously, they don't feel like it's worth their time. Do I have an ego problem? Did I just assume whatever I would spout out would be golden and worth whatever amount of dollars we're spending to have everyone sit and listen to? Well, that's not me, so no. I would be asking myself those questions. And asking people those questions. But don't ask the people who, when it opens up for Q&A, always have questions, because, well, let's talk about that for a minute. The Q&A portion of those meetings. What I hear all the time are, most of the time, some really thought out, smart, intelligent questions. That, based on the information you've just shared, here's what I need to understand better or want to know the impact of. So those questions, I see those all the time. Occasionally you get somebody who's disgruntled about something and this is their platform to take a jab, but you know, whatever, that's humanity. That's how people are, and so what? But what I rarely hear from those types of meetings and those types of Q&A sessions are intelligent, meaningful answers, right? A lot of responses, including leverage and synergy and execute, right? And it gets embarrassing to where it's basically the same answer, just the words rearranged to every question, and they don't understand the context of the people who are asking that question because they're such at a high level that it just doesn't make any sense. So they try and use their interpretation of the English language to come up with what they think that person might be asking, and give them something that they think is an answer, but so much of the time it's not. And at that point, the questions just die off. It got so bad at one point that the same executive was in town. They always insisted on doing a meeting, and he's like, I want a Q&A. Well, people didn't ask questions, because everybody remembered last quarter when you were here, your answers were crap. It was a waste of time. So that's another sign. If nobody has questions, they don't care, it doesn't have any meaning or significance to them, or you communicated everything perfectly and it was all relevant and everyone just hung on every word and they're just soaking it in, right? That's what's happening. I'm sure most of the time that's what's going on, and that's why people aren't asking questions. I bet that's the case. As I sip my Coke sarcastically. Not. That is not what's happening. So you think all these things would be signs, right? And maybe red flags and indicators totally lost on the person doing these meetings, giving their speeches, which is too bad. Oh, well, send me your feedback. I'd really love to hear it. Okay, but are you not going to understand and just be dismissive of it again? Well, then you'll stop getting feedback. Surprise, surprise. You and your open door policy. That's great. My door is always open, but it might close right before you get there or immediately thereafter. Or, you know, are we just doing things just because we've heard that's what we should be doing? And hopefully that's enough to placate people. People aren't dumb. They see right through that. Sorry. I'm a little jaded, but I fell for the trap again and went and sat in a stupid meeting that was yet again another absolute waste of my time. And what if they were really open to feedback, and what if they knew how to interpret that feedback? And I had to give some coworkers advice once because they were thinking, and this ties into a few things, and I could go on forever and be too broad, but I'll try not to do that. But they were under the assumption that if we just gave them the right information, they would know what to do with it, right? That's a false assumption. Sorry if that burst bubbles. But people, the organizations now talk about being data-driven. I see that all over the place. And it's like, are you suddenly able to interpret information that you didn't have before? Right? Because was the reality that, I know what data I need, and I know how to interpret it if I could just get my hands on it, right? That's the scenario everywhere, right? That's what's been driving the market need. Well, no. You didn't know what to do with the information you had. You didn't know what information you needed. Why on earth would I believe you know how to interpret the information you are now receiving? It just doesn't... I just don't buy it, right? So... Oh, shoot. Where was I? Oh, so I kind of had to burst my coworker's bubble and say, you know what? And I think you personally have seen firsthand that even if you go to them with what is useful and helpful information, and quite frankly should be the basis for the decisions they're making, they don't recognize it as such and therefore aren't going to interpret it effectively nor take appropriate action. I said, so you have to... not only own that information, you have to own the interpretation of it and tell them what the actions should be based on that information, right? This just goes back to what I was talking about in a previous one about management or executive supremacy, right? That there's just this presumption that they're so wise and so smart that they will just know what to do with any information you give them, and they will make the right interpretation and take the appropriate best action based on... No. You're assuming a whole heck of a lot that really that kind of omniscience is reserved for deity, really, right? So to think that a fellow human being, regardless of their education or experience, somehow transcends into that realm and knows what to do with all... It's not realistic. It's not possible. It's not legitimate. So you have to own the information and the feedback that's gone. And it may stop there. You may say, okay, here's the information we have that we find useful, and you may be dismissed right there. Okay, fine. So let's say you pass the first one, and they get the information, they understand it, but they don't know how to interpret it. So they go off and do some stupid thing based on the information you said that was, and you're sitting there going, wait a minute, how did we get here? That doesn't make any sense at all. So you have to take it a step further. Say, okay, what should they do with this information? Here's what I recommend, and here's the impact it will have. You got to spell that out. If you're going to do that, if you're going to own information and send feedback up the chain, and the larger the organization, the worse, and the further you're going to have to go with it in helping to get to the outcome that should happen. Just don't assume everyone knows it, and that whatever's being pushed down at you is based on the best possible wisdom, knowledge, and perspective that's out there right now. No, it's just not happening. It's just not the case. So, I'm not going to go to any more of those meetings. Every time I fall for it, every couple years, and somebody convinces me that this one's going to be worthwhile and valuable, and I go, again, huge disappointment. I would just rather, if there's something worthwhile, I'll for sure hear about it, because it's going to be all a buzz around the office, and I'll hear about it rather quickly, if not eventually. And if I don't, probably not relevant. So, no more company division, all hands meetings for me. This has been Carpooling with Adam. I'm out.